Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where we are getting ready to take flight because it is time for Newserite. A lot of you know that that is one of the themes of Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., Newserite, where we take a look at what's going on around the world, and we do it in such a way that is a little different. Different in this sense. A lot of you know that ordinarily we will take a look at one or two topics within an hour, sometimes a topic within a full hour, sometimes two, sometimes three, but very, very rarely will we cover three topics in 1 hour. Usually one or two items that we'll look into and we'll, you know, explore in depth. One of the benefits of having this type of program, we can take our time and delve deep. And we can come back to it, revisit it time and time again for a number of weeks if we need to. Help us really get a grasp on what is happening with that subject. With Newserite, I usually don't do that. In fact, almost never. With Newserite, of course, we think about news and we think about meteorites. Meteorites which move fast. They're fast moving. Well, with Newserite, I cover a number of topics at a faster pace than I normally do. Sometimes I slow it down a tad bit, which I will be doing today. But we still get in a number of subjects within an hour. Sometimes I'll go a little over an hour, particularly if I'm airing it on the weekend or start it on the weekend and maybe take it to the week. But we'll probably look at a minimum. Normally with Newserite, I look at a minimum of four topics where I'll bring to us some news from around the world, different parts of the world, different countries. And very often I will begin in America or end up in America, but not necessarily always. I definitely make it a point to take us to other countries, other parts of the world, see what's happening there. Today, I'm going to start our Newserite journey in Venezuela. Venezuela has a lot going on. That is an oil-rich country. And you'd probably be tempted to think, well, if the country has a wealth of oil, everyone's probably doing well there. Well, not necessarily. One of the sad truths about the way so many humans do things is that a country can have a wealth of any number of resources, but if the decision is made that the wealth is going to be deliberately, unevenly distributed, you can still have a lot of people in that country that is rich with resources doing very, very poorly. That's what we're going to find out today. That's what we're going to explore today when it comes to Venezuela. A lot of the people are hurting, and we're going to definitely give some attention to what's taking place with regards to the children in particular. So let's get ready to take this ride. I hope you all can just send out a quick text or a quick phone call, however you prefer to do it. Let your families know you're going to be out of town for a little while. But let them know that you will be getting back today. It's just going to be a little while that you'll be gone. You won't even be gone for 3 hours. It won't be that long a trip. But let them know you'll be out of town for a little while as you be taking a look at what's going on in various parts of the world. And we'll have you back. And let them know, don't be worried. You know, you don't want them going over to the office to surprise you with a lunch or anything like that, just to be surprised to find out you're not at the office or you're not at the gym or you're not at home, wherever they would normally expect you to be this time of the day. Let them know where you are. Let them know everything's good. All right. So while you're doing that, I'm going to go ahead and start this takeoff. Yes, indeed. And that is the way I do it, ladies and gentlemen. When we're getting ready to take off, I let the jet engines have it. That's right. I am not competing with them. They be putting out a whole lot of decibels. And I ain't competing against them. No, I wait until we're up in that air. We're moving and cruising again. And then I start back talking. All right. So here we go. As we take a look at what's happening in Venezuela today, just to let you know, we're going to spend part of the time talking about what's happening. We're going to be spending part of the time listening to them tell their own story. As a matter of fact, let's start now at this point, letting them tell their story. Lots of things can happen to you on the streets. The police can beat you up. People also look down on you because you're begging. I'm looking for a room to live in because living on the street is not easy. These are children talking to us.
These are children who have been kicked out of their homes by a mother, a father, parents, who simply could not afford them anymore. They couldn't afford them to sustain them in these difficult, very difficult economic times.
Today we've been very hungry. My body didn't feel well, right, Mom?
Mariana and her mother have been begging in 40 degrees heat since early in the morning.
I ask around for help, but sometimes I have to rummage through rubbish just to feed my kids. People normally say they can't help, but then they give me some. You say people tell you bad things for being on the streets? That hurts me and it makes me angry. People don't know how bad our needs are and don't understand that I won't let my kids go hungry.
Food's become a luxury for many Venezuelans, especially for those in the slums. It's not uncommon to see children and adults desperately rummaging through rubbish to find something to eat.
Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, food being a luxury? The most essential kinds of food. We're not talking about fancy foods.
I spent some time with a group of street kids in Caracas.
In my home, there was sometimes food, but it was never enough. We are too many.
Experts say that food has become a source of conflict within families, some fighting each other over the next meal.
I left my home because my mother was mistreating me. I got fed up with that, but also wanted to leave the food for my little brothers.
Charities have seen a sharp rise in the number of children on the street.
We're getting around 40% or 50% more children in our shelters. And the numbers have gone up another 60% in the first half of 2018.
And they say that the crisis is also pushing expectant mothers to make drastic decisions. Maria, not her real name, is 6 months pregnant. She's already decided to give the baby up for adoption. I met her and her other five children a few years ago. Since then, she has given three of them to other families who could look after them. Before the crisis, people were able to cope with big families. Now, it's almost impossible as everything is in short supply, including contraceptives.
Think about having a couple of dogs that breed. They have puppies. And weeks later, you give those puppies to other people. And that was your plan. You planned to give your puppies away, your dog's puppies away. Can you imagine giving your children away? I told my children that I didn't want to give them away, but I just can't support them. One day I'll try to get them back.
I also met Judith, who recently gave her own child away after birth.
By doing this, I thought I would be able to feed my other children. And give the baby a better future. I feel terrible for not having her with me.
At night, I meet up again with our group and I'm introduced to their leader, 17-year-old Carla.
It's difficult to sleep here. You're always on edge about who may hurt you. They're sleeping outside.
They offer to show me where they'll spend the night. We reach the bush where they were hoping to sleep. The cardboard they were using to keep warm has been thrown away. A chilly night awaits and a very uncertain future.
BBC is helping us with this. Can you imagine having hoped for a cardboard to keep you warm? You're going to be outdoors at night in the open. How do you fully relax? How do you fully rest in those circumstances? You're afraid that someone may try to hurt you. But at least you have the comfort of having a cardboard to help keep you warm until you get back to the spot where you're going to sleep and discover that the cardboard has been thrown away. Your warmth has been thrown away. Extreme poverty has jumped 40%. Deaths related to child malnutrition are on the rise. Millions have fled the country in the past 2 years. Many inside and outside Venezuela blame the policies of socialist President Nicolas Maduro, but his supporters point to the opposition and also imperialist forces outside the country, including the U.S., which has imposed sanctions. Mothers and children have been among those hit hardest. Let's listen to something else. What's happening in Venezuela? We have power cut here 10 times a day, some for several hours. The next day, your products have decomposed. And when they're talking about these products decomposing, they're talking about food and specifically meats. The power cuts have made her lose her power to her fridge. In some kind of building where they have dead bodies, where people have died. Bodies are rotting to the point that they explode.
This is one of the richest oil-producing nations in the world. This wealth is almost everywhere. It's under the ground, it's right up to its shores. But I've spoken to people here, and all you hear is stories of hopelessness, suffering, hardship.
They're at the market now. I see you're buying fat. Yes, I am. How many children do you have?
Four.
The fat is for them?
Yes.
And that is what he's buying now for his family. It looks bad. We have power cuts here 10 times a day, some for several hours. The next day, your products have decomposed.
Rotten beef is also sold here in this market. It smells strong.
Rotten beef.
Flies all over it.
Y la gente come.
Do you people really buy this? Yes, what else can they do? It's cheap. We want electricity. We want electricity. These are people out.
This is a community that's been 5 days without any electricity. In this part of the country, this is not rare. This is happening all the time. Maria Eugenia is about to have surgery for breast cancer. She has been without electricity at home for 5 days.
How are you affected? You can't even imagine.
The cables that you can see, they're taking them from one house to another one, trying to get some electricity from somewhere.
How is it inside?
They've opened a hole in the wall and put a makeshift fan to try to get some air in here. High temperatures in here in Zulia are over 35, 40 degrees. And this is a place where If you don't have that arrangement, without any electricity, you're going to struggle.
¿Esa nevera funciona?
Does your fridge work?
So we've got two fridges. This one works, not much in it.
Two refrigerators.
This one got damaged.
In a power cut.
Está dañada. En un apagón que hubo. Se me quemó un aire.
The power cuts have made me lose my air con, the fridge and the water pump.
Maria Eugenia has had to find everything for her cancer operation, including gloves for the doctors, needles and drugs. Now she's facing a recovery with no electricity.
I have nowhere else to go. They're at the morgue now.
Morgues are struggling to keep bodies refrigerated due to power cuts, leaving many of them exposed for days.
The bodies are rotting to the point where they explode. I put one in a bag yesterday, covered in maggots. I didn't even have gloves or a mask to do it. Some bodies have been left there for 6 months because the funeral houses are owed too much money by the government.
Here in Zulia, the crisis has affected everything, even the dead.
Okay, I'll be right back.